Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hey, everybody, welcome to our brand new MMA Roasted podcast. It's me, Adam Hunter. It's going to be a great show today. We got Justin Wood in the building, a fellow comedian, military vet, roommate of Junie Browning. We got a great show. We got Chris Wade, a great Long Island fighter on the show. Ashley Evan Smith, who's got a big fight coming up at UFC 223 against Rowdy Beck. I'm looking forward to that fight. It should be a fun fight. Who knows? I think we're going to try to get Phil Baroni as well. I know he has a fight coming up in King of the Cage after he missed his flight to get to the bare knuckle boxing. But shit happens. I want to thank our sponsor, Speedweed. Listen, people, marijuana is legal in California, and there is no reason to have to go out of your apartment, your house, your place of work to go get it. Why? Why do that? Okay, they will come to you. Just go to speedweed.com, follow them at @speedweed. They will deliver it to you. Sometimes you go, you don't have a car. Let's say you have a car. Then you pick up the marijuana. You want to test it. You're so excited. You smoke. Now you got a DUI. Okay, now you're going to jail. It costs $20,000 for a joint. Everyone hates you. Your kids can't go to college. It's a whole thing, all right? Your wife leaves you. Everyone thinks you're an addict. All that could be prevented, okay, by going to speedweed.com. Mention Roasted, and you get $10 off orders of $100 or more. And the guy Gino, who runs it, is a great, great guy. Also, if you're on Amazon.com, if you actually order off Amazon, go to adamhunter.com first, my website. Click on the banner. There's two banners that say Amazon. Then order whatever you're going to order, because I make money on it, and I like money. So, yes, that's what you should do. Do that. And also, if you like t-shirts and you want to support the cause and you like MMA Roasted, order an MMA Roasted versus Everybody t-shirt. I will personally deliver it to you. I mean, not like in my car if you live in Alaska, but I will go to the post office and get it to you. Okay, so that's what you want to do, and that's that. Justin, what's going on? How are you, man? No problem. You tricked me. You told me, hey, man, I'll come on with Junie Browning. And I was like, fuck yeah, this would be awesome. And then Junie didn't come. What happened?
All right. So I was talking to him. You know, we brought the idea up about 2 weeks ago when he came and did my show. And, you know, I was talking to him, and he told me that he's trying to get out of the MMA spotlight. And I was like, you haven't been in the MMA spotlight for a while. Like,
yeah, he's been in a cop spotlight.
Yeah. But he actually had, you know, great things to say. Like I told you, he's like, if I ever want to do an MMA podcast again, Adams will for sure be the one I do. So I think we need to maybe make a movement.
Yeah, well, you listen, tell Junie I'm a fan of his. It's not going to be one of those things where I make fun of him. Obviously, there's plenty of things to make fun of, yeah. But I'll let him do it himself. The thing about Junie, I'm not going to be like, what the fuck? It's not going to be one of those things. I think the dude actually accomplished a lot in his life and will still accomplish a lot. And Junie Browning was, you know, I'm a fan. I wasn't always a fan, but he was entertaining as fuck.
Yeah.
And, you know, the kid put on some good fights. He beat some good people, and he made it pretty far. He made it to the highest stage of fighting, which is most people will never do that. 99.9% of the fighters will never make it to the UFC. Junie did. So hats off to Junie.
Think about that season he was on.
Oh, yeah.
I forgot, you know, I was like, oh, yeah, that's right. Efron won. Like, I forget, like.
Yeah.
I still talk to Junie, and I still talk to Dave Kaplan a lot.
How's he doing?
He's good.
What's he up to?
He's just traveling around all the time now.
Is he like homeless?
I'm
like,
what? No, I think he has like a smoking hot wife and lives in. Last time I talked to him, Boston.
Wow, he had one of the funniest things where he's like, "I can't get knocked out." Right, that was a guy that said, "I can't get knocked out," and then somebody knocked him out, and then he had to like get him back up.
Tom
Lawler knocked him out. Everyone can get knocked out. I don't think there's a person out there who can't get knocked out. But yeah, that was crazy. I've had a good last couple of weeks. I had a show on. I did a commercial Wednesday for Riverside, Riverside Hyundai. I thought it was, so that's going to be coming out pretty soon. If you live in Riverside, which was, it went really well. Though this time I was prepared because I did a shoot a year ago, and you know, as a comic, you know, you talk about with your friends anything. You don't, nothing's off limits. Yeah. But then you forget, like, around actors, that's not the case. Yeah. There was this, like, Asian girl, not this time, but last time on set. And I was just talking to her, and then she said something like, oh, like, the bill came in. And it was one of those things where we got a check, and we had to do it online. I'm like, oh, this is going to take me forever. One of those, you have to sign into a website to get paid. And she's like, oh, it'll take me 3 minutes. And I'm like, that's because you're Asian, right? Which was, I thought that. And she's like, I don't appreciate your stereotype. I'm like, okay, you know what? Like, but now I'm like worried she's going to get me fired, you know, because it was a joke. And I don't think that was even a negative joke. I said, Asians are good at, we can't say they're good at computers anymore. Like, yeah, that's yeah. People can't, that we,
too complimented now.
We can't have positive stereotypes anymore. Everybody is just so fucking uptight. So then I apologized to her, and I'm like, hey, sorry if I offended you by making the, which I never liked doing. And she's like, it's okay, just work on getting better material. And I was like, oh, that's my joke anyway. Like, that was my go-to, you know, like. But I had to kind of just grit my teeth and say, okay, all right, you know, like, whatever. And then the next day, that was in the last photo. This one went better. This one was much smoother. I did it. But then I had so I did the commercial. And then Thursday, I had this show in Big Bear where it was at an office party, and they hired a guy, my friend Andy, to tell everyone that they were getting fired. They were doing a terrible job. And then, ha, 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 it's a comedy show. So I drive up to Big Bear. It's a terrible storm. It's a 3-hour drive. I get there. I'm like 3 miles from where I have to be. They go, the road's closed. And the only way back down, this is at 1:30 in the afternoon, the show was, is to go back down around the mountain, an hour and a half, back up the other side in the fucking rain with falling rocks and rocks that are on the ground. So then I got there, and luckily the show was great. It was it was great. They tipped me like a couple $100. It was awesome. It was 18 people, but they were happy they weren't getting in trouble.
Yeah, absolutely.
Followed by a comedy show. So then I went from there to the Laugh Factory, and Johnny Sanchez went on before me. He murdered. But I don't get that. You know, the old younger me would have been like, oh shit, how you get nervous who you have to follow.
Right.
But as a comic, you get put in so many situations now. I do at least where. It's like, hey, I want to see how good I really am.
Yeah.
Like, fuck it. Like, let me follow whoever.
I actually appreciate following someone that's killing. Like, I look at it the opposite way. It's like, the crowd's here now. Like,
yeah.
Like, I can fuck it up by not being funny, or I can just keep riding off with somebody. It's like someone throws you an alley-oop in basketball. Like, if someone goes up there and crushes, they're lobbing that oop up there for you.
Sometimes. Depends on how they're crushing also. Yeah. I mean, I remember one time Rogan, I did one of Rogan's shows, and he's like, hey, can I go up earlier? And he had to get out of there. So he did like an hour and a half in the middle of the show on his show, and then went on after him for 8 minutes set.
Yeah.
And that was rough. And I like brought a date with me. And then it was just, that's the word. Like, never bring dates with you to comedy shows.
Oh, my God. Should come to my show tonight and be like a bringer show.
Oh God.
That's all I used to do.
And then they sit through the worst fucking comics ever. And
like, that's gonna be one done.
Well, when I did the improv, I had to fill it up. I asked like 7 different Tinder dates to come. And then a couple of them met each other in the bathroom. Like, oh, how do you know Adam? Oh, from Tinder. And that definitely fucked up a lot. Oh yeah, of course. That's not exactly how girls wanna know. But then I mean, one of the hardest person I had to follow one time was this guy, Gary Cannon, because his whole thing was crowd work.
Yeah.
Like he's an audience warm-up guy. So he went on before me at the Improv in Vegas, and I was headlining, and he talked to every single crowd member.
Oh, wow.
Like every table. What do you do? Where are you from?
Yeah.
And Dana White, of course, came to that show, which I did fine, but I was forced to just do material at that point.
Right.
Because I wasn't going to be like, what do you do? Where are you from? I would have had to continue with Artie. So what do you, like... And it's just too much, which I think as a feature, a little crowd work is good. But if your whole act is crowd work, you're not going to work that much as a feature, especially if the headliner can say who you want to go after.
Yeah,
because it's just not unless the headliner just does material, which I don't like doing. I like fucking around a little bit. So anyway, so then Friday I did a military base in Colorado. They flew me out, which was nice. It was a 6 a.m. flight, 2-hour drive to the base. Then we got stuck at the gate for 2 hours because they didn't believe it was us. Then I'd go to the show, and Tisha Torres is there with Heather Jo Clark, who's now dating my friend Connor Hume, which was weird to friends date. But and then someone else. And it was a great show, except this guy was so drunk. And one of those things where, like, he thinks he's helping. Because, like, he thinks that because he says something, I started drinking, and I'm like, when? At noon on St. Patrick's Day? Yeah. And then everyone gets a laugh, everyone laughs, and he thinks he got the assist on it.
Yeah.
Like we're in this together.
Yeah.
But he was a nice guy, which those are the worst type of hecklers. Right. The ones that are like, fuck you, you suck, are actually the easiest ones because everyone, like, hates that guy. It's the guy who's having fun.
Yeah.
Because then if you smash him, you're a dick.
Right.
This was one of those guys, but he was funny. Actually, his mom was with him and their other brother who was in the military, who was like the most nicest guy ever. I'm like, what is this? The remake of Twins? he got the good genes and
asshole.
Yeah, he's the asshole. Yeah. But afterwards he got to me, started crying like, this was the best show I've ever seen. And like, oh, that was fun. I got to hang out with, and then also there was another girl, who was a fighter. This is going to bother me because she was a national champ in wrestling. I didn't know who she was. Normally I know people. She was an Invicta fighter. She's 5-2, super cool girl. This is going to bother me if I don't point her out. Fuck, what's her name? But she's an Invicta girl. And here we go. Boom. Sharon Jacobson. She came, national champion fighter, a wrestler. In MMA now, has a couple cool wins. Went over Jamie Moyle, so that was cool. And then, the Colorado was fun. And then the guy was like, when the guy was screaming out, he's like, "I love you." I'm like, "Yeah, me and Jack Daniels." So I got him good. I got him really good. That was fun. And then last night was the Dime, which was like, it's always funny whenever I have like the best. Comics, we have the least amount of crowd members for some reason. And whenever I have like kind of a weaker lineup, it's like everyone's there.
Yeah.
I think a lot of times because the good comics don't promote, they don't give a fuck. Those all just show up for a set. The newer guys, like, oh, I'm going to bring my friends, you know,
exactly.
Even though I don't require it to them. So it was one of those shows. It was a good show, but my pet peeve is when comics go up there and bring their fucking notebooks.
Yeah.
Like, I could see putting your phone on the stool, glancing over.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool. But when you bring up like a fucking like 3-ring binder up there, or you're just telling the crowd, this is a workout open mic.
Yeah. No, I've had people do that on my show, and I'll tell them when they get off stage, like, hey, Monday nights are our open mics if you want to come back and try the open mic. But,
really?
Yeah.
See, I don't have the balls to say that I'll just tell them like, hey, listen, it's a lose lose because if I tell them beforehand, like, hey, please don't bring up your notebook. They're gonna go, oh, I wouldn't do that. Why me? Come on, I'm a professional.
Yeah.
But then they probably were planning on doing that, right? But if they do it afterwards, then you're an asshole because you told them afterwards.
See, but I think if you would bring up a notebook, like if you did your jokes in a notebook and you brought it up, I don't think the crowd, like, because you're there every week, so that's showing the crowd that, hey, I'm trying new stuff for you guys.
Yeah.
I've been to some shows where I'll see the host of that, like, I'll come back like a few months later and I was like, oh, here's your regulars, and you're still doing the same jokes. So
yeah, exactly.
I went to Neil Brennan's show over at the Westside Comedy Theater, and Neil would just bring up notes, but he's up there every single.
And he has a Netflix special,
Yeah,
that's the thing. It's like this comic hit me up. I'm not gonna say his name, but he's like, "Hey, man, I got some new shit I want to work out. Mind if I come by?" And I wrote back. I go, "Here, I'm going to correct your text to me.
Yeah.
Like, hey, Adam, I'm going to do my really good jokes that I know work and probably put in a couple new jokes too because I want you, because I know you're going to be spending time all week trying to get a crowd in there to come see me." And the guy goes, "Fuck you, man." And he got all fucking angry. And I was, and then it became like a 10-minute fucking text back and forth, which we made up. But, you know, comics are such, I mean, they get so, they're so sensitive people. A lot of them are. So, I don't know. But that was annoying because I was like, ugh. And they got to the point when people came up to me and they were like, "Where's the sign-up sheet?" And when you're running a show, you don't want to tell people that just walking off the street going, "Where's the sign?" And I'm like, "Hey, sorry, these are professionals." They go, "Really?" I know you don't think so because they're all doing their fucking, not all of them, but some of them are, you know, and that just, it infuriates me.
Right.
I mean, and then there was like this girl that hit me up to do the show like 2 days ago, and I had a falling out, so I'm like, "Sure, no problem." And then I like, I, you know, I do the flyer on my little fucking phone.
Yeah.
And I like, it's the letters are so tiny.
Yeah.
So I misspelled like a letter in her name. And she's like, hey, you spelled my name wrong. I go, okay, I'll fix it. Okay, fix it on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter too. And I'm like, fuck. So that, like, fuck. Like, no one's coming to see you.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I do this every fucking day.
Yeah.
Of my life.
Yeah.
Every day I travel the whole fucking world doing it, and I make a living at it. You know, you're some chick that like dabbles in it. I'm like, all right, sure, I'll throw you a bone, and then you're gonna give me a fucking heart. Make your own fucking flyer.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You know, when I do shows, I make my own fucking flyers for them. I don't wait till the venue gives me a flyer.
I had one kid hit me up recently because when I make my flyers for my show, what I usually do, if anyone hits me up for a spot, I give them a spot. Whether it's like anytime soon, I'll like, okay, hey, come a month from now. I got a spot for you. Because I like to have, you know, people that when someone looks at the flyer, like, oh, this will be a good show.
Yeah.
But then I'll have like two or three other people on the show. And he hit me up. He's like, hey, why isn't my picture on the flyer? And I told him, I was like, look, you know, I just do this because right now, and I didn't like sound like an asshole. I was like, their social media followings, when they share it, that can help me.
Yeah.
He's like, well, I can pack the room.
Then pack the room.
Please do.
Yeah.
And I'll bring you back again.
And of course, he didn't pack the room, right?
No, you're like not even a year into comedy. And I think I had like Lori Kilmartin, Christopher Angiola, and Graham Elwood on the flyer.
Yeah.
Where's my picture? I'm like,
so fuck. No, they don't. They don't understand how it works ever. I had a girl hit me up. There was a girl that like I had heard, like did the roast battle, and then like was late and called the fire department or something them. So she hit me up for a spot, mm-hmm. and I told her, I go, last time I brought you, I put you on the show, not knowing I gave you a spot. I had all these comics complain about you on the pulling the fire alarm or calling the fire department. Did that? I go, did that happen? I didn't make any. I go, did that happen?
Yeah.
She wrote me 50 fucking emails in a row. I didn't respond to one of them. You know, I'm a woman. I work hard. They're drug addicts. They're losers. Fuck them. I didn't do that. Oh, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, blah. And just off. I'm like, dude, you're obviously mentally unstable. Yeah. Like, I cannot have you near me.
No.
Like, I honestly wish that, like I was just trying to be nice, and now it just fucking blew up in my face. Anyway, so... let's talk about MMA. This is the MMA podcast, not me bitching at fucking. All right. So, over the weekend, you watch Invicta at all?
I didn't get a chance to watch it.
There was some good Invicta cards. It was my girl won, not my girl, but Deanna Bennett won.
Yeah.
And I was so happy for her, but she had the strangest fucking. So, she's like, she licked the camera. She's like, oh my God, the camera in her face. And she's like, oh my God, this is great. I'm so happy. I'm not happy. I'm so happy. Oh, this is awkward. Just like my dating life. And just, it was hilarious. I loved every minute of it, but this, she's insane. But, I'm a fan of hers. I was happy she won. And then there's some other girl, some young girl that like lost, but she was 18 years old. I forgot her name, but she had a shirt saying like pro guns, pro USA, and then just she got pro fucked up, but she's tough. Yeah. The chick is tough. 18 years old. I mean, to even be doing this at 18.
Yeah.
So that was cool. And then I actually did watch the LFA. I like LFA.
Yeah.
There was one thing where on the amateur car, one of the amateurs, the heavyweight. You see what happened? He knocked the guy out and then did a fuck. But it wasn't even like his knockout.
Yeah.
So he was in trouble. Like, he went down, mm-hmm. and the guy knocked himself out trying to land a punch.
Yeah.
And then, look, if that's how you win your fight, by the guy knocking himself out,
right.
you don't deserve to do a fucking backflip,
no.
especially off the guy's fucking back. Like, backflip does not mean off the guy's fucking spine.
Yeah.
You know, like, so the guy did a fucking, and then Colby Covington wrote, like, he didn't even land the fucking thing.
Yeah.
And then, like, Lorenz Larkin, holy fuck was he pissed. Oh, yeah. I'll just read you a little bit of what Lorenz Larkin wrote. Good for Lorenz Larkin, but he did not. And like, you know, what the fuck was that? I understand you're happy and like you won your fight. And I guess the guy's really upset. But is this really how you want to like go about it?
Yeah.
Like, is this, I mean, come on, man. I mean, Lorenz Larkin fucking went ballistic. Man, I gotta find it. He was really, really fucking angry. So, I don't know. Also, Ricky Simone looked really good.
Yeah.
Yeah, this kid, he got called up to the UFC. I'm happy for him. Also, in the Invicta thing, it was the first ring boy. You see that?
Oh, yeah.
Elias.
Yeah.
Elias Theodoro. I think he did fine. People said that he kind of stole the show.
Look, not to me.
I wasn't really watching it for him, but fuck it. I mean, I think if it brings, you know, eyes to it, that's good.
Mm-hmm.
Hannibal Buress, I guess, is sponsoring the event now.
Oh, really?
So he has HannibalBuress.com all over the mat.
Oh.
And his face and his eye. Like, that was just so random.
Yeah.
I guess he's a fan. So, okay, Larkin writes, you fucking piece of shit. I never in my life fucking seen any type of classless shit like that, and I've been in the game for a while. I know Ed Soares is one hell of a fucking promoter. He will handle it to the fullest fucking potential he can, but I hope no other fucking promotions, no matter how you fucking do in your career, pick your sorry ass up. And I'm so glad you're not on the higher fucking level so I can get my hands on you, you piece of fucking shit. So, I guess, how do you really feel, Lorenz Larkin? But yeah, hey, man, that's what happens.
Was that even his like partner or anything that got knocked, like a training partner that got knocked out, or?
I probably. Yeah. That does seem like he had an investment in it. I'm not sure, but I know Kelvin Gastelum got upset. He said there's no place in this.
Yeah.
So yeah.
But yeah, like if anyone watches before that, the knockout, he knocked himself out. If I'm that guy, I'm gonna quietly get my hand raised and walk out of the cage knowing that
you got a gift.
Yeah.
You got a gift. But yeah, you know, maybe now people are talking about that, not the other thing, but still. Gary Tunnan, who I guess is this master jiu-jitsu guy, everyone talks about how good he is. He won his fight. He looked really good in 1FC, which kind of sucks that Askren left. But I feel like Askren's probably light years ahead of him at this point. But that would have been a sick fight. Six. I'm not even sure they're in the same weight class. Josh Barnett, he actually, his USADA, he actually beat USADA. It got overturned. So good for him. I actually said this is his first win in 4 years. I texted him beforehand and go, hey, is it cool if I say this? And he said, haha, go ahead, sure. And he goes, by the way, I beat Orlovsky. I'm like, okay, I know. This is just fucking jokes. But yes, I know Usada's like 90-0.
Yeah,
I mean he basically beat the greatest of all time. So so I'm happy for him. And then what else can we talk about? What's his name? Is now Ponzinibbio is fighting Kamaru Usman.
I saw that.
That's a good fight.
I like it. I was really hoping for the Usman and.
Yeah, but Colby's fighting RDA.
Oh, yeah. We're going to keep giving him 155?
No. RDA is up at 170.
Yeah.
His last fights have been at 170. He got completely sucked out at 155.
Yeah.
And it's for an interim belt.
Yeah.
I mean, like, they're saying, like, yeah, this is for an interim belt. Fuck it, right?
They're saying,
he actually did a good job at comedy.
That's what you told me. That,
he did.
Like,
better than, like, I would say 99, probably any, it was probably the best debut I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Tyron's a natural at comedy, shit. But at the same time, I don't think this is like, this interim belt thing is just getting ridiculous.
Yeah, they're just throwing him out now.
And the guys that he's fought a fucking a who's who of fighting.
Yeah.
You can't say he's ducked anybody.
No.
Fought Wonderboy twice, he fought Maya. He fought Robbie Lawler, and those were his last four fights.
I could see this being labeled a number one contender fight.
Yeah.
But I don't think there should be. How long has he been out? And how long was Conor out before they finally...
Right. By the way, another thing, UFC did a top, like, 50 fights of all time.
Oh, I saw that.
And they put Conor, Nate Diaz 1 and 2.
Yeah.
Like, the second one is the best fight of all time.
Yeah.
And the first one is the second best fight of all time, which is great because I've now been at the best fights of all time.
Yeah.
But that's complete bullshit.
I didn't even see Forrest and Bonner on there.
Oh, they were on there. But here, we'll actually go over this list. This list is bullshit. I mean, there were so many better fights.
They just happened to put the one that Conor won at number one.
Yeah, I mean, come on. That first of all, that second fight, it was a good fight.
Yeah.
Was it that dramatic? Was it even close to Robbie Lawler versus Rory McDonald?
No.
No. Not even, it wasn't even as good as like Korean Zombie versus the fucking, the Mexican dude that used to throw fucking crazy haymakers.
Yeah.
Who am I thinking of? Trained over at the ranch.
Mm-hmm.
Look up Korean Zombie fights. But yeah, so this is ridiculous. This is the best. Okay, so now that the UFC best fights of all time. Leonard Garcia. It wasn't even in that. Leonard Garcia, yeah. Korean Zombie might have been one of the. And Brian Stann, Vanderlei Silva,
yeah.
Has to be.
Absolutely.
I mean, one of the best fights of all time. That fight was insane. I mean, there was, and of course, Forrest, you know, Griffin Bonner.
Yeah.
But there were so many. Why would they do that? That's just, come on. That's just stupid.
It's like, how thirsty are you guys? I mean, look, I get it. Connor, I tune in every time he fights.
Yes.
Let's not get ahead of ourselves and say that's number one and number two. Every single fight that's ever happened.
Oh, yeah, of course. I mean, this drama is a big part of fighting.
Yeah.
I mean, a huge part of fighting.
Yeah.
Brian Barberena, Colby Covington, I think, was actually a more exciting fight. But there's a, you know, obviously the Frankie Edgar, Gray Maynard fights were just insane. Two and three.
Yeah.
Those were just amazing fights. You can go on it. I thought the Henry Cejudo Benavidez fight was a great fight. Yeah, of course, Gustafson, John Jones.
Yeah.
That fight was insane. And I think a lot of these fights are on the list, but those, that one and two, I can't even find. I guess someone took it off Google, that list. So we're talking about that. So what else is going on in the world of MMA?
Floyd Mayweather now. Training this week.
Come on. That's so stupid.
Yeah.
That is so, it's never going to happen. He's never going to get into the, if he gets to the octagon, I don't know. What will I do? I don't know. If he gets into the octagon, CB Gold will bang Joe the Kid Perez. Okay, that's what
live
I'm
saying.
Yeah, live on Periscope. That's, or maybe Joe will bang CB. One of them will bang each other. But yeah, that, come on, that is so dumb. That's just dumb. And now let's talk about UFC 223 because that's obviously the biggest fight coming up. I'm looking forward to that fight. Everyone's looking forward to that fight. I actually would like to be going. I'm like, why am I not going to that? I probably could go, but I don't know. Brooklyn's kind of far. So we're looking at that fight right there. Actually, yeah, April 7th. That's the next big one. So the fight press prelims on that. You got Zabit. Oh, this kid is really good. Zabit Magomedsharipov. I don't know. This dude, I watched him fight, and I'm like, this is the next big thing.
Yeah,
he just has that it factor. And he's the first fight on Fight Pass prelims. That's how good this card is. Beck Rawlings, Ashley Evan Smith.
Amazing.
Artem Lobov, probably the best fighter who's 14-14 in the history of fighter. Except I think Baroni's up there too. He's fighting Bruce Leroy. I don't think Leroy's ever been in a... I mean, he's just...
Boring fight.
Ever.
No, he's entertaining. That's on the...
Yeah, it's on the undercard. That's on the Fight Pass undercard. Joe Lozon versus Chris Grutschmeiser. Grits, that's a good fight right there. Ray Borg versus Brandon Moreno. Moreno, he came out of nowhere with his couple. And then now Ray Borg, man, I was hoping he would pull off that Demetrius Johnson win.
Yeah.
But not only did he not do that, but the way that finish was insane.
Yeah.
I don't even know how you even teach that. But hopefully this will be Borg's comeback. Felice Herrig versus Carolina Kolchevich. Felice Herrig is actually, I think she's won like four in a row.
Yeah.
I mean, she's coming. Look, I mean, at one point she lost to Paige VanZant on Fox. And now she's like, you know, she's just coming into her own.
Right.
Good for her. But Carolina is no joke. That's a tough Polish chick. I find that the Eastern European girls, for some reason, they kind of do it for me because they have no facial expression and they got great bodies and they just look like they'd be like, take off your pants.
Yeah.
put it into my asshole. You know, like they just seem like those kind of girls. Just, I don't know. And then Ally Quinta is taking on Paul Felder, the Irish Dragon versus Raging Al. Hopefully Al wins this fight.
Yeah.
He should win. Chiesa versus Pettis. I'm picking Chiesa in this
Me
one.
Too. I don't know. Pettis just seems like he can't get out of his own head anymore. I think that's mental with that. It's almost like a Tiger Woods. Like, he was great. Like, he was champion, WEC, UFC. And now, for some reason, I don't know what fight it was, but it seems like he cannot.
I think his opponents also were, like, falling apart before they got in there as well. Like, it's just like they were believing the hype. He was believing the hype. And then Calvin Kattar, my buddy Calvin. He's from Arizona. Good fighter. Really nice guy, too. He's fighting on Renato Massano from Brazil. That's on the main card. Wow.
Yeah.
And Rose Namajunas versus Joanna.
Yeah.
I think Rose is going to do it again.
I hope so. I mean, I'm pulling for her. But if not, I mean, we got a trilogy.
But that last one, Joanna just got too full of herself.
Yeah.
She's making faces and this and that. It was
Boogie Woman's Cup. It's like, shut up.
Yeah.
Like, I was a fan of her until that lead up. I started just like, you're annoying. Like, I don't even.
She said all about her legacy. Like, oh, I'm going to break the record. Just beat the person in front of you. How many times do we have to teach this lesson?
Yeah, exactly.
Just beat the person in front of you. And then Ferguson Khabib. That's, man, I keep going back and forth. I think Khabib's going to win.
So
I do. It's going to be a good fight. It's going to be a really good fight. I'm looking forward to it, though. So
Ferguson's dangerous enough off his back because he's going to go to the ground. Khabib's going to get him down, but it's going to be what's going to help Ferguson is how dangerous that dude is off his back. So
wait, no, I think did I tell you what I say? Ferguson or Khabib?
You said Khabib.
Yeah, you, who do you think's
going
to win?
I think Khabib's going to, but I'm not 100% on it because the only way I can see Ferguson winning this is doing something insane off his back.
Yeah.
But that's about
some Eddie Bravo rubber guard,
exactly.
Fucking go-go vaporizer, fucking Plata.
Yeah, what are you talking about? I haven't heard much from Ferguson. Usually,
Little bit. It's just he's not good at trash talking.
No, not it. It's
really I mean, he's not the worst at it, but it's just not his thing.
Yeah,
you know, he's
exactly.
So we're gonna call Phil Baroni. Let's see how he's doing. I see if he actually picks up. I don't know if he will, but. We got to see how he's doing. Last time we talked to him, he couldn't get to England in time, but now I see he's in King of the Cage. So let's see if this. Let's see what he's up to. So boom, Phil Baroni. Here we go. All right. Hello. See if this works.
Hello.
Hey, Phil Baroni, you're on the MMA Roasted podcast. How are you?
What's up?
What's up? So, I'm here. It's me, you. Justin Wood is in the house. So, what ended up happening last week? My friend Justin. He's a comedian / military vet. So, first of all, congrats. You got a fight.
Funny.
Yeah. Thank you. Congrats. You got a fight in King of the Cage, right?
Yeah.
Are you excited for this?
What?
I saw that you got a
I just jerked off all over myself though, so I can't have that much enthusiasm right now. It's about to fall asleep.
Okay, so you just jerked off. It's 1:30, and now you're tired.
On my chest, yeah.
Okay, now did you wipe it up at all or?
No, it's just right here on the pool. You just called.
Okay, all right. Now, is there anyone around you, or did anyone watch you jerk off?
The dog. I might let him lick it.
No, don't. Please, that's illegal, and I don't want to see you going to jail for animal cruelty. So you're fighting Matt Legler. Matt Legler.
Yeah.
Do you know anything about this guy?
He's fucking dead meat. That's about it.
Now this guy's got some knockout power, though. He looks like he's no slouch.
Gives a fuck. I'm no slouch either.
I know you're no slouch either. I'm just saying, are you taking him seriously?
I'm going to kill this motherfucker.
He's got a record of 12-14.
Yeah, he's fucking dead meat.
All right, he's dead meat. All right, so now, did you ever square it away with the bare knuckle boxing guys?
No, he's a fucking queer, that motherfucker. fuck that guy. Fuck it. And fuck Bare Knuckle Boxing. That guy's a fucking bitch. I would have killed that fucking guy, Relic. He's a fucking jerk off. They had a backup guy there already. Well, why would they even have a backup guy when the main event fight is me? They were never bringing me. There was never no flight. It was a bullshit. They used me for advertisement. I would fight that Relic guy any day of the week. I heard he's in KSW or something. Whoever the fuck he is, I'll beat the fuck out of that kid. I'm not afraid of that kid.
Now, do you think that you got set up?
I ain't afraid of nobody. I think it was bullshit. They were using me to promote the show. There's nobody on the show. I never heard nobody that did the Bare Knuckle Boxing. They didn't even get me a flight.
Now, they said they got you a flight and you missed the first one.
Full of fucking shit. A different fucking city. And I don't believe there really was a flight there.
Ah, man, that's bullshit. That sucks, man, because I was looking forward to you making your debut.
I'll fucking kill that dude. I was a good shape. I was going to fuck him up.
All right, okay. Well, now we got to focus on Matt Lagler.
Yeah.
So Matt Lagler, he's coming off a loss to Anthony Hernandez. He knocked out.
Yeah, he's getting fucked. I'm going to beat the shit out of him. I don't need to hear about what he did, what the fuck, anything. You know what I mean? I'm just going to abuse him.
All right, now where is this fight?
King of the Cage in fucking San Diego.
Okay, now do we have a ride there?
You're gonna pick me up, ain't you?
May 4th. I actually would love to come pick you up.
Are you in LA?
Yeah, I'll come in LA. Justin, you want to go on a road trip?
You're in LA now, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I'm going to fucking Stockton. Swoop by the fucking ghetto real quick. Pick me up, but let's go.
Let's do it. Can I walk with you? Can I walk you to the cage?
Yeah.
Nice. That's awesome. I'm in. Yeah. I'm in. Fucking May 4th.
You can be my fucking corner man, everything. Cut man. You can be everything. Corner man, cut man.
No. All right. Now, so we're taking this seriously. We're training with the Diaz brothers for this fight?
I'm just training out here in the area. I mean, I'm just training.
Okay,
I'm just training with everybody. Yeah.
Now, so you're not beating up homeless people anymore, right?
No, I'm out of Vegas, man. I'm out of Vegas. I beat them up, made enough money, got a bus ticket, Greyhound to fucking Stockton. Couldn't make it to fucking the water, and I'm here.
Now, when you're jerking off, are you watching porn, or are you thinking about your glory days and some of the porn stars you banged, or what are you jerking off to?
A video on my phone that I just took. Yeah, I'll send you the picture.
How's your Tinder game doing out in Stockton?
Yeah, good. I just won last night. Got something. It was fucking great. I love this Tinder thing, bro. You don't have to have any person. You don't talk. You just go see. I'm the best at that. No talking, just fucking. I like it.
All right, so you just show up. You just kind of make a muscle and then just fuck the chicks?
Yeah, just make out. Just kiss them. As soon as I see them, I just start making out with them.
Nice. Are you banging them or no? Are you wearing wearing condoms or no?
What's that?
No, exactly. Phil Baroni does not wear condoms. Nothing. All right, so we got a 2-fight contract with King of the Cage. I'm looking at
I
this
never
guy.
Pull out, bro. I always go through it. I don't fucking no condoms.
Yeah, but aren't you worried about having kids?
I haven't had any yet. Well, any that I know of.
Yeah.
Any in America.
Nice.
I think Tinder should sponsor.
Yeah, absolutely. Phil, yeah, are you getting sponsors for this fight?
You're sponsoring me, aren't you? You give me a ride and you're going to fucking put a MMA roaster. MMA roaster on my ass, aren't you?
Absolutely, man. That would be awesome. Yeah. I would be honored. I'm excited for this. Yeah. Fucking Under Siege, May 4th, Friday, May 4th, King of the Cage. Doors open at 6:30, fights at 7:30. It's Phil Baroni versus Matt Lagler and Aaron Witherspoon versus Robbie Peralta. This is going to be a good. I like it. It's going to be on, you can watch it on MAV TV. This is the return of Baroni. Now, do they drug test in King of the Cage?
Well, I'm not worried about that.
Good. Okay, good. All right.
We'll worry about that. We'll worry about that after the fight. You get in there and fuck some dudes up first.
Okay. Now, what weight is this fight at?
Good question. What?
Wait, you don't even know what weight you're fighting at, Phil?
I did 185. I'm fighting this motherfucker tonight. 185.
Okay, but what do you? I mean, sometimes I see you, you're like 170, and then I see you like another 2 weeks later, you're 230.
I'm like 30. Yeah, I'm like 230.
You're 230 now, so you got to make it to 185. Are you cutting? This is like a month away. It's not that, you know.
I never miss weight. I'll make weight. Don't worry about it. I'm becoming a huge smashers, dude.
All right. Now, who do you
The weight. I'm not worried about the fucking weight. You know what I mean? That's some bull pussy shit. All these dudes worrying about the weight. Fucking go in the sauna, stop fucking crying and make the fucking weight. It's fucking ridiculous. A bunch of fucking pussies crying about the weight. Been doing their weight cuts.
Yeah,
I never heard of such a thing. Dudes, every day, wrestlers, every day, twice a week, sometimes three times a week, cut way more than these fucking pussy little. Want to be MMA fighters that want to cry about can't wait and cry about fucking all this shit. You know, it's ridiculous. Weight cuttings were going on since the beginning of time. That's when wrestling's been invented, and it should be left alone.
I kind of agree with you.
If you can't cut weight, then you wrestle weight class up. If you don't make weight, they're out. Next time you should be cut and you should make a weight class. Guys will make fucking weight.
Now, who do you like, by the way, Ferguson or Khabib?
I can't bet against Khabib. I've been training with him. He's a beast.
Oh, yeah.
He's an AKA guy.
Yeah. How do you do against him in sparring?
I'd fucking knock him out, but he's a good wrestler.
I believe it, man.
I would fucking kill him. Are you serious? He's 155 pounds. My dick's bigger than him. I would knock him the fucking towards the room.
Your dick's bigger than him, really?
Yeah, he's a pretty big wrestler, though.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, but how do you do against him in wrestling?
I'm fucking way bigger than him. I'm a two-time All-American. I'll fucking smash his little ass.
Now, how did you do when you were at AKA against, like, Luke Rockhold or against Daniel Cormier?
Daniel Cormier beats me up. I used to, before I left AKA, I was wrestling with Luke Rockhold a lot.
Yeah?
I was wrestling with him a lot.
And how did you do against him?
I was one of the bigger guys, and that was even when I was smaller. He doesn't really have no one there to train with.
Right.
He can't just train with DC and Cormier all the time, you know what I mean? So I think that's why he left.
And Kane, you mean, right? Kane, because DC is Cormier.
Yeah, yeah. He can't train with those two big motherfuckers all the time, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Better now if he goes with 205, but when he was fighting 85, there was no one there to really give him any work except me, but I wasn't there.
Now, are there any strip clubs in the vicinity? I know that you're a big strip club guy.
Stop. Fuck, bro.
Nothing?
No. I mean, there is, but I don't like it. It's okay.
Yeah, yeah. What about those porn stars that were living at your ranch?
No, they left. They got rid of them.
Well, listen, Phil, man, I'm proud of you, man. I'm looking forward to May 4th, Under Siege.
Yeah, and be here like a couple hours early, folks. On the fall.
All right, no problem. We're gonna take it.
All
right, good. I'm excited for this. Weigh-ins. We don't know what you're gonna weigh in at. I guess the fight's at 185, but good, man. I'm excited. Is Chuck Zito gonna walk out with you again?
Yeah, Chuck Zito is coming.
Nice.
And what the face? Fucking
Bonnie Rotten.
What?
What about Bonnie Rotten? I see that you're with her sometimes.
No. Fucking, oh, fuck, bro. Man, I smoke too much weed. What the fuck is that bitch with me? Listen, can't remember. Fucking hot chick, bro.
Yeah. All right, some hot chick. Good. Listen, Phil.
She's pretty hot. She's pretty hot, and she did a lot of movies, but now she only does with girls.
Did you ever bang her?
Yeah. Banging her right now. She's going to woke me up.
Good. All right, cool. Well, thanks, brother. I appreciate it. I'll talk to you soon.
See you, Pat.
Later. All right, that was Phil Baroni, one of a kind. I don't know if I'm in town that week. Yeah. Fuck. If I am though, I would fucking love
That'd
to.
Be amazing.
I know, dude. He's got to win this fight. This guy looks.
Cool.
Yeah, I think Phil's got this fight. Phil could beat a lot of guys. Yeah. Phil actually, you know. Phil's a different level. I mean, he was a great wrestler.
Right.
People underestimate how good he was. At New York, he was a county champion. I think he took second in the state. Then he was a college All-American. He got kicked off the Hofstra team. All-American at Western Michigan. He was a 4-0 as a boxer. He beat Dave Manet back in the day. I mean, He's had so many battles, but you know, fucking Phil Baroni. How do you not root for that guy? Yeah. I'm in Naples, Florida that week. Fuck. Otherwise, I would be there in a heartbeat. But my heart will be with Phil Baroni. Yes. Yes. So I'm happy for him, man. I like about Phil though is that he's so diplomatic. You know, doesn't really always, you know, wants to say the right thing. Doesn't want to offend anybody.
Yeah. Very well spoken.
They don't make him like Phil Baroni anymore. You know, he actually graduated from Hofstra or in college. His major was to be a guidance counselor. That was his major.
I think he still has a.
Like, could you imagine that was your guidance counselor? Like you go in there and you're like, yeah, and people don't like me, and I'm sorry. Look, you're a fucking pussy, all right? You get to fucking do some fucking steroids. Fuck it.
Don't jack off on your chest and then come back and talk to me about this again. Go be a man.
Go like, dude, like.
Just let it sit there for a few minutes. Take a couple calls.
Dude, on Instagram, I posted my wedding photo, and I put like best day of my life, and everyone was like, "Congratulations, love you." And then Phil goes, he wrote, "You look small. Do some steroids," and then put like needle emojis. Like he actually found the needle emojis. People, Hims, it's a new wellness brand for men. 66% of men lose their hair by age of 35. I know that I've lost my hair about that time. It's not good. And when you start to notice the hair loss, it's too late. It's over. It's easier to keep the hair you have than to replace the hair you've lost. Is that hairline slowly starting to move backwards? Any bald spots yet? You know it's there, okay? You deny it. You look away. You start doing different haircuts. You know, hairs that grow in that were not there all of a sudden. Just like one. I'm like, what are you visiting? Is this a reunion? All right. I ask you. Do you want a bald spot to pop up or do you want to do something about it first? Okay, be proactive. Go on the offense. Do you want your hairline to recede or do you want to do something about it first? Why do guys turn to weird solutions or do nothing when they can turn to medicine and science? And here's the solution, 4hims.com. It's a one-stop shop for hair loss, skincare, sexual wellness for men. Thanks to science, baldness can be optional. Hims connects you with real doctors and medical-grade solutions to treat hair loss. Well-known generic equivalents or to name brand prescriptions to help you keep your hair. It's not snake oil pills or gas station counter supplements. I mean, you go to fill up your gas, and next thing you know, you're like, oh, just, no waiting room, no awkward doctor visits, okay? Save hours by going to 4hims.com. It's prescription solutions backed by science. It's so easy. Answer a few questions. Doctor will review and prescribe you, and products are shipped discreetly, directly to your door. Listen, order now. My listeners got a trial month of Hims for just $5 today, right now, while supplies last. So go to the website for full details. This would cost hundreds if you went to the doctor or a pharmacy. So go to 4hims.com/roasted. That's FORHIMS.com/roasted. 4hims.com/roasted. Check it out. Trust me on this one. Also, okay, so now we are calling my man Chris right now. He just missed it. Calling him back, and boom.
Hello?
Hello, Chris Wade.
Hey, how are you?
What's up, man? You're an MMA Roasted podcast. You're here with me and my buddy Justin Wood. How's everything going, buddy?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Good, man. Good. I was doing some research about you. Fellow Long Island guy. I actually, you were born in Rockville Center. I used to live in Rockville Center. I went to Oceanside High School.
Small world.
Yeah. Crazy. Well, I was there. Well, I actually, I got thrown out in eighth grade, went to a boarding school in Maine, but I was supposed to be there for a long time.
Did you?
Yeah,
you got thrown out?
Well, I got thrown out of my house, kind of. But ended up going to. It was the best experience. I actually needed it. I went to a alternative prep school, but yeah, you were a Long Island wrestling phenom. You were the New York State champion.
Yes. Yeah.
That's amazing.
I was going back. Crazy. It's going to be 12 years now, I think.
Wow.
So,
and that was
so fast. I feel like that was like 2 weeks ago, but I came back from that tournament.
And that was your senior year?
I said, I feel like that was just, 2 weeks ago that I came back from that tournament in high school, and all of a sudden I'm 30. It's crazy.
It happens. But that was your senior year of wrestling when you won the States?
Yeah, that was my senior year. You know, the format used to be a little bit different, where there was no such thing as wild cards. Now there's guys that are that you could go up and win still, even if you haven't, you didn't win your section. But I lost in the sectional finals the year before as a junior. The kid that beat me, he had a big comeback on me. I had a big lead, and he wound up taking second in the state. So I would have been in the finals probably a couple times. I just didn't get up there.
Right. Well, I mean, just winning the New York State senior year is incredible. And then where did you go after that?
After that, I went to wrestle D1 at Binghamton upstate. I only spent a year there because I really wound up not liking it up there. Just the whole environment, it was raining all the time, cloudy, just depressing. And I did pretty well. I took fourth at the conference tournament as a freshman, but we have a small conference, so only the winner went, and wild cards, like two or three for the whole conference. So I was a freshman, so I had no shot at a wild card.
That's crazy. I actually wrestled for Binghamton also.
Did you?
Yeah, no. I swear to God, I mean for like a semester, but I wrestled under Coach Gumbel.
I know Gumbel.
Yeah.
Gumbel.
Yeah, from Mark Gumbel.
Yeah.
I got recruited to Binghamton, but it was D3 when I went there. You went there when
they brought it back. It was his first year back as D1 after they got rid of it for a couple of years.
Yeah.
So I was up there. Billy Baldwin was back in it. I think he still is.
Yeah, yeah. I was there. I hated Binghamton too. I actually absolutely hated it. It was the worst. It's like this rainy.
Did you used to hang out at the Rat?
At the Rat and Uncle Tony's, and That's crazy. Yeah,
yeah.
But I wrestling was the only part that I actually liked because it was fun. But then I was just like, I got way too into it. I'm like, I'll go D3. It won't be my whole life, and then it's just wrestling. It's your entire life.
It consumes you no matter what if you take it seriously.
Yeah. That's crazy. So you went to Binghamton. You left. The coach must have flipped though when like you left, right?
Well, no, he didn't flip because he left.
Oh, the coach left.
And he went to VTech after 1 year. He's actually still coaching. His name's Tony Roby, but I think he's coaching at VTech now. And he left after one season. Him and my assistant coach. They got out of there. They went to a better program. I don't blame them, but me and him kind of butted heads a little bit, so he didn't try taking me with him.
Oh, okay.
So I came back home to Nassau, good old Nassau Community College.
Well,
that
must have been like, I mean, the school, as far as like scholastically, Binghamton was like one of the hardest schools in the country. Nassau, probably one of the easiest. That must have been pretty easy, right? That must have been a fucking...
Oh, yeah, it was night and day, but I wasn't really... I wasn't applying myself in Binghamton because I hated it so much. I was just partying or hanging out in my room and, like, skipping class. I was just, like, really trying to tank it on purpose to get out of there. So came back home to Nassau. It was easier. I got back on the dean's list, like, right away. It was night and day with the schoolwork.
Did you get laid at all in Binghamton? Because it was pretty hard. Those girls were not giving it up that easy.
Oh, it was disgusting up there. That's part of the reason I left. There's slim pickings, as I called it. It was, and if they were out, there wasn't enough alcohol around, you know?
Yeah, no, they're definitely not the hottest. Because then I saw that you went to Oneonta, right? You ended up going to Oneonta.
I made a comeback. Yeah, after like 2 or 3 years, I took a hiatus after Nassau. Because I wanted to wrestle D1 again at Hofstra, but they had committed to some other guys, so I said, screw it. I'm just going to stay home and coach. And then I got the itch to compete again. So I went, my buddy that I wrestled with in high school, he was wrestling at Oneonta, so we would go out hanging out at night, and he'd be in my ear the whole night. Like, you got to get up. I got to get you up here. You got to come back and wrestle. Got to come back and wrestle. So I went to visit him up at school, and it was a blast. I was like, this place is way better than Binghamton.
It's all party. It's like the hottest chicks ever. They all party. They're all down to fuck. It is night and day. Like my sister went there, and like I used to go visit her friends, and it was just like, oh my God. It was like every girl went from Nassau Community College to Oneonta. Like they go to school with like glitter on their face from the night before. It was
It was.
Oh yeah, it was a. It was a little sloppy at times, but it was. It was great.
Like when girls got dressed up, it was like those juicy sweatshirts, butt pants. That was like their like. That was their formal. That was like their formal gear. You know, like the fucking shorts that have juicy and their assholes.
Yeah, that's what they were wearing out in town.
Now, yep. Now, when you went to when you wrestled for Oneonta, now you're going back to a D3 program. Were you just murdering everybody?
It was honestly weird. Like, I used to get into some scraps now and again. So me and my buddy went back to Binghamton to visit, because I still had friends there. Actually, it was me and my ex-girlfriend went to go visit them. And I wound up getting in, like, a pretty nasty, like, fight in the street. And I was punching this, like, this white dude. He had dreadlocks, but I, like, got a hold of his head. And his dreadlocks, and I was just uppercutting the shit out of him. And my thumb, like, I missed his face one time, and my thumb got caught up all in his hair, and I snapped my thumb. So I had to have surgery, like, right before. This was in, like, September, and the season was starting, like, in 2 weeks. So I wound up missing half the year because I went into cast first for, like, 5 weeks, and they were like, you were really close to needing surgery. And then, like, I was supposed to have the cast on for 6 weeks, and in the fifth week, he's like, you need surgery. So I had to get surgery and do another, like, 6 weeks in a cast. So it was like a rehab process the entire time to try to get right for the national tournament. And then I wound up taking fifth, but I wrestled, like, so high up. I didn't cut weight. I was just lifting like a monster. I wrestled 174, I think.
Wow. So you took fifth in the NCAA Division III Nationals. Still tough, still really good, but for you.
Yeah, I got most pins in that tournament too. I had like 4 pins or something like that.
So then you go back home. You're living in Long Island now. Do you what are you doing with your life? Are you working? What are you doing?
No, I kind of came home. They knew that I was really considering fighting right at that time because my coach was trying to get me to stay for another year. He knew I wanted to do MMA because I came home those 2 years that after Nassau that I didn't wrestle, I started to dabble in kickboxing. And I had a guy in town that was, you know, he's bringing his son to youth wrestling that I was teaching, and he kept trying to get me into striking. And I finally went and hit some mitts, and I loved it. I was so happy just cracking mitts. And then, so when I came home, I had that in my head that I was going to pursue that. So they were like, stay one more year, come on. And I was like, nah, I'm going back home. As soon as I got home, I linked back up with LaFleur, and Bermudez had just gotten to our gym. He was on the Ultimate Fighter show at that time. And it was only a couple of months before I wound up taking like my first amateur MMA fight.
I mean, what a ride it's been. I'm looking at like some of your fights, man. You've had some great ones. Do you have any fights coming up, by the way?
I mean, well, with the new PFL deal that I just signed, it looks like I'm going to be fighting in June.
Wait, what? You left the UFC?
Yep.
When did that happen?
Thought you knew that.
No, I didn't know that. When did that happen?
Yeah, man, I've been at odds with them for like since July, basically, since my last fight. And, you know, I was trying to be the good soldier and, like, be quiet and wait around and get back in their good graces by getting, like, an opportunity and winning, you know. But I live on, you know how it is living on Long Island, man. I can't be sitting around, like, healthy with no fights being booked. And all I kept hearing was, like, you know, we'll see. We got a lot of people to get to. We'll see, you know. It was just bullshit, so. I started pressing my manager that, you know, we need to do something. I need to fight. I don't care if it's somewhere else. I want to compete. So we started making moves.
But, I mean, you were 5-2 in the UFC. You're coming off a win against Frankie Perez. Your 2 losses were to those fucking Dagestani maniacs.
Savage Russians.
And those were close fights.
They were. I almost knocked out Rustam.
Yeah.
And then me and Islam, I thought it went down to the last probably like 30 seconds. He got me in a body triangle at the end and just kind of hung on to me. But I mean, I thought that fight could have gone either way.
Yeah.
And those dudes haven't lost since. They've just been beating everybody up. So
Yeah, that's crazy. I can't believe you left the UFC on a win. And are you worried about PFL? Because, I mean, they haven't been on – they've been saying this million-dollar tournament, but I haven't seen them on TV. It seems like a little bit shady, no?
I mean, I'm just going off of what my manager's telling me right now. There's other people that I'm close with that are in on the tournament. I know some big-name guys that signed also. So, you know, I'm just rocking with it right now. I mean – there's always a little bit of concern until everything goes off, but I mean, you know, we'll see. We'll see where that goes.
How many fights do you have to win $1 million?
I don't know. I heard that they're going to do a little short, like regular season where you fight a few times and then into the playoff format where there's like 12 guys in the tournament or something like that. They're probably going to have to win about 3 fights or 4 fights.
Wow. Okay. All right. Fuck, man, this is a big ballsy move, but I guess to do it. I mean, I don't understand why they wouldn't give you a fight. The UFC went to Atlantic City, going to Atlantic City.
Well, they made me fight my contract. First of all, Silva tried to cut me when I was 4. He didn't like me. I don't know. We went through this. It's on Twitter, like, because I snapped on them a couple times because, you know, they have a bunch of trash in the lightweight division that they use to prop up the guys that they want to prop up. They have guppies, I call them. You know, guys with like 1-3 records and shit that they just keep around to get fucked up. So I started getting frustrated seeing these announcements when I'm hearing through my manager that, you know, we'll see. We got a lot of guys to get to. Like you said, I'm coming off a win. I'm 5-2, 2 first-round finishes, you know, the whole 9. And I think they just don't like my style, you know, that I fight. They just want people to just put their head down for them and knock each other out. And I fight way smarter than that because they don't fucking pay us anything. I'm not getting my brains beat in for like $20,000 after taxes, you know?
Yeah, of course.
But, so, you know, they got aggravated with me and started strangling me out. And they made me, Joe tried cutting me at 4-2. And, but he was retiring. So I was like, fuck that. You know, this is bullshit. How is this possible? This doesn't happen to anyone that you go 4-0. No one hears about you. You're in the best division in the world. You got 2 finishes. You had a top 15 fight, and then you lose. And then they started throwing Dagestanis at me. Like every matchup was a Russian guy. I think it wound up being 4 in a row they booked me with.
Yeah.
And I was pissed, you know, and like we couldn't do anything about it. And I lost the 2 close fights, and he tried cutting me. So. Then when Sean took over, Ali got me another fight with Frankie, and I thought me and him were kind of where it was like winner stays, loser goes. So I win the fight, and then a couple months go by, and I'm like, yo, I'm ready to go again. And that was like August or September. And then it took me like a month to realize like something shady was going on. Like they were reluctant to like give me my next bout. And then they started just stringing me along until maybe like December, January. I didn't hear anything from them. USADA was still calling me. I was still doing like promo shit for them. Then they came to the island. They were doing something with like that rodeo. I don't remember what it was, but I went to an appearance for them with no contract, like in good faith. And, you know, they don't even send me, you know, an email or text, nothing. Just keep stringing me, just letting me like kind of dangle. So...
yeah.
When I asked him, like, what's the deal? What's going to happen? And he was like, you know, I think you'll get something. Just keep being patient. And I just can't be patient anymore, you know? Plus, I ran my mouth like an animal, so I probably pissed them off even further.
I don't know. A lot of these guys run their mouths like animals. It doesn't seem to affect them at all.
Yeah, but they don't really run it against them that much, you know?
Yeah, I mean, how did...
they just kind of run it at other people.
How are you making your living while this is all going on?
You know, just getting by. I opened a gym in May with LaFleur and our jiu-jitsu trainer, Greg, and a good friend of ours. So I've been running a gym out of my hometown, been grinding out lessons, been, you know, doing this, that, and the other to try to get by because, you know, you expect that you're going to fight again when you're a winning fighter. I don't know what 5-2 equals out to, but I think it's like a 7-something win percentage.
Yeah, and, no, and you've never been finished, never been stopped. It's complete bullshit.
Never even made me fucking bleed in that organization. No one ever even dropped me, you know?
Have you thought about...
My big thing was like, yo, if you don't like me, just have me put down then against these dudes that you think are so much better. But I think they know that they can't put me down, and they don't want to watch my style out there, so they're like, nah, fuck it, just strangle him, you know?
Have you thought about Bellator?
The best bet. I mean, we kind of explored options for everybody, like right off the bat, like I guess like put out feelers everywhere, and they were the first ones. PFL was the first ones to come right back with something, and you know, I'm looking to get active like right away. I've been training and just waiting around, and I'm just tired of waiting around. You know, I just want to scrap.
Now PFL's got some good. I mean, they got Andre Harrison, they got Lance Palmer. They got some tough guys there.
I heard Shields is in this. I heard some names are in it. So yeah, I mean Andre's my boy. He's another one that's been screwed by the UFC.
Yeah, he's 16-0.
He's probably the best featherweight in the world that's never gotten a run with them because they don't like his style. You know, they're shitheads.
Yeah, I mean he's 16-0. This kid never been beat. Beating the best guys. Beat Lance Palmer. And they're not going to sign him, but they're going to sign CM Punk and his fucking, you know, looking for a guy to go in there. It's that's the problem. You know, I obviously love
They're running a carnival. They owe a ton of money, and they're trying to do anything they can, like a bazaar, to get people to come in and fill the seats, you know?
Yeah. Nah, that kind of sucks, man, because I'm obviously a fan of yours, and I'll watch any one of your fights. And but it just sucks the way that you've been treated because, you know, you finally get to the pinnacle. You finally get there, and you go 5-2, and then you can't get a fight. That doesn't make. And they're going to Atlantic City. They're going to Brooklyn. They're going to Utica. These are all places that you could, you know, draw at.
Yeah, I've been questioning why they couldn't promote me and why they didn't. You know, like I thought I had the look and I can talk and I can back it up and I can fight. And nobody can really. I don't get dominated ever. I'm always in a fight. You know, I'm really tough to beat. I'm a tough out. And, you know, for one reason or another, these fucking, I don't even know what to call them because they ain't fighters. They're just, you know, they leech off fighters. You know, it's like an emperor, you know, thumbs up, thumbs down. You got to please them first and foremost. And if you don't and they don't like you, then they'll do whatever they want to you. They don't care about you, your family, nothing. Winning and losing doesn't matter. It matters how much money goes in their pocket, you know.
Well, at least are you getting any laid at all in Long Island? Any hot chicks at like Sprats or?
I got a girlfriend for a while now, but life hasn't been too bad.
Nice. There you go. What does she do?
She's a teacher.
Oh, you got a nice girl teacher, and then there you go. You guys have a house, apartment together. You live together.
Yeah, I mean, I've had a house I own with my brother since I basically got into the UFC. We bought it like right as I was having my first fight, so I've been here for a while. So we've just been we bought one that we could fix up, you know. So we've been just going through the house room by room, and gutting it and redoing it.
Now, is there any rival between your gym and like Ally Aquinta's gym and Aljamain's gym?
No, we're all boys.
Oh, okay.
Like really tight, actually. There's no rivalry like at all. Everybody's always helping each other get ready for camps and sparring with each other to get ready for other guys, rooting for each other, cross training. Aljamain comes to our gym almost weekly. You know, we go over there like all the time when we're getting ready for fights, and we do conditioning with them and with Longo and Matt. And it's awesome.
All right, what's his name? Just moved out here, Alp. And I set him up with.
He moved again.
Yeah, he moved out to Orange County, and he's like, "Hey, man, if you know anybody." So I set him up with TJ Dillashaw, and I set him up with Mark Munoz, and now he's training over at like the Body Shop. I think he might have a fight coming up. So,
dude, that guy doesn't—he's like a traveling man. You know, I wrestled with Alp at Nassau.
Yeah, he's a good guy. Seems like a really good guy.
Yeah, he's a really good dude. He just never stays in one place longer than a couple of like months, I feel like.
Well, he's Turkish, aren't they? They have like a big Ottoman Empire back in the day, trying to take over. Is that?
Yeah, trying to conquer everything. Yeah,
yeah. But anyway, well, listen, Chris, hang in there, man. I look forward to your next fight, and keep fighting the good fight, my friend.
Yeah, guys, good talking to you. Should be June. Look for something.
Thanks, buddy. Take care.
See you, buddy.
All right, guys. Have a good one.
Yep.
That was uplifting. Fuck, man. I don't even know what to say about that. Yeah?
I saw he had an interview with Ariel about it all.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just damn. I mean, there's a kid. He's got all the ton of potential. I mean,
it reminds me of the Askren situation. Like,
yeah, but Askren was never in. This dude's already in.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, why would they not give the kid fights? He's fight. I mean, his fights were exciting too. The fights with Islam and Roost, even the fights he lost were exciting fights.
Right.
And the other fights, he, you know, that is just weird. It's strange.
It's like guys who are outspoken about protecting their brains and everything.
Oh, is that what happened? Is that what he did?
Well, he said, he's like, yeah, I started fighting differently because they're not paying us anything and I had to protect my brain.
Yeah, but, right. Of course.
Yeah.
Fuck, man. That's. I didn't realize he was. I mean, not look, nothing wrong with PFL.
Yeah.
I'll definitely watch PFL. I like Ray Longo. And I'm not Ray Longo, Ray Cepho,
yeah,
and those guys in charge. I like what they're doing over there. I think they have Randy Couture commentate sometimes, and
Okay.
I'm all about, you know, diversity. But it just sucks that you see that a kid like that goes out like that because he's
5-2.
Yeah, 5-2, right?
Never been finished either. Like,
doesn't make any sense.
I don't get it.
Yeah, I mean, somebody, he must have, I don't know, banged somebody's wife or something. I just it's just fucking crazy, right?
You're right, but now they're gonna. They're trying to find someone weak because CM Punk's about to fight again.
But
so you know
the CM Punk thing irks me as fuck because, like you said, it's just because you have a lot of Twitter followers,
yeah,
and you're good at another thing doesn't give you the right or the opportunity to then just go into a sport because you want to do it.
Yeah.
There's merit to this shit, okay? This is a meritocracy. It's not based on it's
right. But he was right. It is a carnival. And this is my thing. Being really good friends with Junie, when I saw CM Punk was coming and I knew that they wanted Junie to come back on that Redemption Series, I was like, Junie, I would be if I were you, I'd be pushing for the CM Punk fight.
Junie would destroy CM Punk.
But it's a win-win.
But they have to now go find somebody which now they got to put two people who don't deserve to be in there. And you got a guy like Chris Wade who can't get a fight.
Right.
You got, you know, wrestling champion, kickboxer, college, all-American.
Right.
Now you got a guy who actually deserves a fight, who's winning fights, who's fighting the best fighters out there. And he can't get a fight. But now we're just giving, and okay, fine. People are like, okay, CM Punk, if he's worth it. They gave him a chance.
Yeah.
They gave him a shot.
Yeah.
He had a shot.
Yeah.
He had a shot. They said, okay, here's your shot. He went out there. He got beat in 50 seconds, whatever it was.
Right.
And sorry, you had your. Now he gets another shot because they're going to Chicago. Are people? I mean, how desperate are we? They sold that company for $4.5 billion.
Right.
This is not, some fledgling, upstart fucking, wrestling promotion that they're trying to get in West Covina. This is not that. This is they don't need they don't need the views. They need the views, but they're not, the people that are going to come, they're banking on the fact that somebody is going to say, "Fuck, I don't want to watch it, but I like CM Punk. Here's my $60.
Yeah.
Wow, this is amazing. Holy shit, I'm now going to be a fan forever.
CM Punk's so great. Now I love UFC.
Or the undercard is going to be so good.
Yeah.
I understand, but that's not the way to do it. It's like you're okay as a comedian. It's like, okay, we're gonna put on a fucking reality star or some Vine star or Instagram model, okay, and we're gonna have them we're gonna put her on the show so people show up and see the other comics. I get it, I understand, but do it like I way more respect the Bellator way of doing it. At least they're putting on Ken Shamrock versus fucking Chuck Liddell.
Yeah.
But at least those guys were good fighters at one point.
Right.
If not, some of them are still doing okay. Tito's still doing okay. But they said at one point they're okay.
Yeah.
This dude, now we have two guys that are not world. They don't do it on the Lakers. CM Punk couldn't just walk on the Lakers.
Yeah.
It wouldn't happen in the NFL. You know what that happens is like Filipino basketball. They'll play Manny Pacquiao.
Yeah.
They'll put Pacquiao in. And I get it. But he's like the pride of the fucking. He's like a countryman, not a countryman, but he's also like the senator or the whatever the hell he is over there, congressman. I don't know. I don't like it. I don't like it. And I'm not hating. And I know people, I know other fighters have told me it's good for because, you know, it gets eyeballs on it and yada, yada, yada. But I'm looking at a bigger picture here.
Like, they got fights that are going to get, I'll tell you what's going to get a lot of eyeballs. And this is just what I think is going to happen. I think John Jones, by the time his suspension over, and you got Brock Lesnar, who's starting to weed out of the WWE and get back into USADA, that's going to be the fight that they're going to make, and it's going to be a huge fight.
That's
and
a great fight.
That fight, like, that's like...
Of course.
It's two people that have had a lot of problems, but they're great fighters fighting each other. They have the talent there. They have, you know, like we talked to a 5-2 fighter. They have the talent there. Promote those guys. Like,
yeah.
Putting all your eggs in baskets set. Stop promoting. I'm tired of hearing about Conor. Too. I'm like, why everything we talk about, we're still talking about Conor. Conor's an amazing fighter. I'm not taking anything away from him. But until you guys get over Conor, the UFC is just stuck.
Like, yeah, no, it's true. And then Bellator is the same shit, where they go, you know, this heavyweight fucking thing, and they're bringing in, like, they're rolling out Fedor in a wheelchair to yeah. fight fucking Roy Nelson's corpse, you know? And yeah. I get it, but they have Ed Ruth. They have Aaron Pico. They have Darian Caldwell. They have MVP. Yeah. They have a fucking a great bunch of guys. The Pitbull Brothers. They have Michael Chandler. They have Ben Henderson. They have guys that people actually are sort of in their prime, okay? They don't have to do it with... You don't have to bring in Art Jimerson versus Royce Gracie too.
Exactly.
I mean, although I'm still going to watch it.
I just think it's crazy in that now we got Chael and Ryan Bader both fighting in a heavyweight tournament.
And they're going to win.
Yeah.
That's the crazy part is that they actually have a good shot.
Yeah.
Chael beat Rampage.
Yeah.
I mean, if you would have told me that 8 years ago Chael was going to beat Rampage, at any point I'd be like, you're out of your Chael Sonnen?
Yeah.
It's going to beat Rampage? Yeah, okay. And Mighty Mouse is going to beat fucking Stipe Miocic, you know?
Yeah.
But it fucking happened. It happened, and he looked good doing it. But I don't know. But it just the sideshows. We got to stop with the sideshows.
Right.
It just doesn't help. It doesn't help when you have guys like this dude, who's 5-3 and can't get a fight, and has to, you know, has to make $20,000 a year, and he's been a pro.
Yeah.
I mean, put him on salary if that's gonna happen.
Yeah.
Put him on salary where you get paid. You know, the smaller guys, you get $80,000 a year, $100,000 a year just to be in. Look, if you're a pro athlete in the NFL and you're like, I make $100,000 a year, people are going to laugh at you.
Yeah.
They're going to be like, oh, who do you play for? The fucking, the Pee Wee team?
Yeah.
But if you're making $100,000 in the UFC, you're doing pretty good.
Yeah.
Which is sad.
But they all get hired as like independent contractors.
And they are. And the argument is that the NFL guy, well, you play 16 games, right? So where the fighter, okay, fine, but this dude's still in training camp every day.
Right. Still needs to make a living.
I mean, if you put these guys on salary, I think they'd be a lot happier.
Right.
I think. You know? I mean, some guys are never going to be happy.
Right.
But, you know, it's just, anyway, we're calling a beautiful lady, Ashley Evans-Smith, coming off a tough loss to Sarah Morass. I did not see that happening. I was like, there's no way that's going to happen, but it happened. But Ashley's my girl. She's coming up. She's fighting Rowdy Beck.
It's going to be a fight.
And you can't underestimate Rowdy Beck. She hits hard.
Hey, you reached Ashley Evans Smith. I hate voicemails, so if you can tell.
There you go. That's my girl. She hates voicemails. Like, who likes voicemails?
Yeah.
Anybody that actually likes voicemails?
No, the only time I ever listen to them is after my mailbox gets full and my phone.
Of course, voicemails used to be the shit, though. Remember, like, you kids listening to this, you don't understand how easy you have it. Like back in the day, you had to remember people's phone numbers.
Yeah.
You had to have a phone book.
Yeah.
And when you went to a club, you had to carry around a pen and like a napkin.
Yeah.
And you had to beg the bartender for a pen.
Right.
And he gave it to you. Like, he was like, you better give this back to me.
Yeah.
And like, you were like a complete fucking asshole because you finally got a girl's number and then you had to go run. And then half the time it was the wrong number, you know, or like you convinced yourself it wasn't the wrong number.
Right.
And you just did the music. So you tried every variation of that last number. But these kids, you don't have to remember anything.
Free nights and weekends when you first got a cell phone.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you couldn't make a call. And they had long distance on it and collect call. Like, War Machine's the only person that makes collect phone calls in this day and age.
That's hilarious. Man, that's I'm talking about wasted fucking life, man.
Sponsored by 1-800-COLLECT is next fight.
Oh, God. War Machine. Fuck. Damn.
He's Christian.
Yeah, of course. They're all Christian. You know, it's amazing how, like, when people find religion when they're in jail or when they're about to die.
Yeah. Oh, Jesus.
I mean, other people. My wife's pretty religious. Yeah. But, yeah, I hear you. Come on, Ashley. Pick up the phone. Fucker, come on.
Hey, you reached Ashley M. Smith.
She hates voicemails.
First time.
I know. What is this? I'm calling her right now. I like her, though. She's a cool chick. She's back with her boyfriend. Yeah. Since I've known her, she's had about 15 different boyfriends.
Yeah.
You dating anybody? You have a girlfriend?
Me, yeah. Just moved in, actually.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Who is it?
You met her before. Name Autumn. Been about 3.5 years now.
Where did I meet her? At the shows?
The Dime.
The Dime?
Yeah, I brought her to the Dime one.
Nice. Wait, what did she do?
She's a lawyer.
Whoa. Really?
Yeah.
Is it hard to argue with her?
Yo, I don't even try.
You can't win?
No.
Fuck.
And I live with her and her sister, which is worse because, like, it's like always 2-on-1.
Ah, you live with her and her sister?
Yeah.
Ah, so does she hear you guys having sex?
I don't think so. I hope not. It's a pretty big apartment in Santa Monica.
Oh, nice. That's good.
Rent control.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, I know. I'm moving tomorrow. We have a new studio, by the way. It's going to be great. I have, like, my backyard is, like, I got this huge studio in my backyard. We're going to convert it into, like, a podcast studio. We're going to be doing big things, more shows, more happiness, maybe even video. So, guys listening to this, thanks for sticking with me all this time. I know it's been a journey. We've had about 97 different co-hosts, but it's good. It's gonna be really good. That's great that you guys are moving in together. So, just your sister moving out? Her sister?
No, not right now, but she's talking about it, like, eventually. But I mean, just living out here. It's terrible, like, rent-wise. So, I mean, it just makes sense. Like,
so you guys divide it by three?
What's that? Yeah. And after, like, 3.5 years, I mean, it's pretty safe to say that, you know, because how many people do we know that they've been with someone, especially the comics for some reason?
Oh, yeah.
Like, date in 2 weeks, like, you know, it's time to move in.
Oh, comics are the worst.
And it's like, hey, can I sleep on your couch? It's like, what just happened to your girlfriend?
I know a guy, my friend is dating. He's like, yeah, I'm dating this girl. I'm like, weren't you married last month?
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, you know, blah, blah, blah. It didn't work out.
And life happens.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does.
I know. Some guys just can't be alone.
No.
I was like that for a little bit. I just, like, as a comic, you get lonely, you know, but also there's so many options.
Right.
Of just Tinder and Bumble and Soul Swipe.
I met her was Tinder.
Really?
Yeah.
A lawyer on Tinder.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Nice. All right, so we're going to call Ashley one more time. See if she picks up. Come on, Ash.
Does she like voicemails?
She loves voicemails.
You should leave her one.
She absolutely loves voicemails.
Hello.
Hey, Deanna Bennett. What's up? It's Adam Hunter and Justin Wood on MMA Roasted. How are you?
I'm doing great. Feeling fabulous.
Congrats on your recent win. That was awesome. I actually tuned in just to watch you fight. I was like, I got to, honestly.
Well, thank you.
Because I'm also moving and this and that. I got all this shit going on. It was Saturday. I flew back and I'm like, I got to watch Deanna fight. You look great. It was a close fight, but you look great. Were you happy with
thank
it?
Thank you.
Were you happy with it?
Yeah, I got a W next to my name, so I was very happy. Obviously, some stuff I wish I would have done better. I was watching my shots and I was like, why was my hand there? My hand was supposed to be on the leg instead of on the back, but... we'll get there. Next one. We'll work on that.
You thought you're
overall happy.
you thought your hands were too low?
No, my hand was too high. It was up all over her waist when I ducked down for the shot. If I would have put it on her leg, I would have blown her off her feet. But, wrestling problems.
Yeah. No, your double leg looked great. Your double leg looked great. She connected with a couple shots in the head. Were you hurt at all? Were you rocked at all?
No, not at all. I actually came out unscathed from this one. Nice. It would have been 4 years in a row if I would have broken my nose. I break it every March, but I think this year I'm breaking the trend, so we're good.
Now, I was so happy you didn't get kicked in the head this time. I was like, please don't get kicked.
Oh, me too.
That was like, my holy shit. I was like, do not get rocked in the head. I was so
that was the one thing my coach said too, like, Deanna, so help me, I don't care if you get punched, if you get kicked in the head, you're out of the gym.
Yeah.
Like, I promise I won't.
Because her last two fights, she got like head kick hard. The first one, like knocked out cold. Next one, she fought some girl from like, I don't know, Europe and got kicked in the head. Came back. It was a draw. And the UFC cut her after a draw, which is
that
fucking.
When her opponent was hanging on the cage?
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah, she was holding on.
Yeah. Yeah, total bullshit. Like, I mean, they didn't cut her. They didn't pick her up. So then now she's fighting an Invicta. Now you missed weight. What happened?
Oh, dude, my everything was going according to plan, and then I got to Utah, started retaining, the water wasn't coming off, and got to a point where my kidneys were starting to lock up, and my coach was just like, I'm going to call a doctor for you right now, and I was like, no, you're not, and he's like, well, then you're done cutting, you're just going to be over, and I was like, ah, I don't want to be over, everything had been going so smoothly and according to plan. But it was like, it got to a point where it was like, I either fight or risk being in the hospital. So I had to, and oh, it killed me. It made me so mad. I don't like being that unprofessional person that doesn't make weight, but I was dying.
Well, it was 2 pounds. It wasn't, honestly, like, it wasn't 10 pounds, it wasn't 5 pounds, it was 2 pounds. It wasn't because I had heard, I was actually hanging out with Tisha Torres, Heather Jo Clark, and Sharon Jacobson, and they were like, you hear Deanna miss weight, and I was like, "Oh fuck, really?" And then I looked, and I'm like, 2 pounds. Okay, she's okay. It's just not. She's not. You know, like it, this wasn't like that. Was this the first time you missed weight?
At 125, yeah. I've come out in, like a pound over trying to get to 115, and that's what was frustrating. I'm like, I've never not made weight at 125. That's terrible. Like. Something went severely wrong.
Okay, all right, we'll work on it. You look good, by the way. You look good in the in the octagon, whatever. You look very.
Well, thank you.
You look very attractive.
I'll take it.
Now you did say that your post fight speech was like, I said it was like every bad Tinder date I've ever had wrapped into one speech. You were all over the fucking place. You licked the camera. Was this? Why did you lick the camera?
I would like to say, in my defense, my tongue did not actually touch the camera.
Oh, okay.
So the fact that I got called gross by Michael Chiesa on Twitter, I'm like, my defense, I'm like, it didn't actually touch the camera. Like, damn, it's not like I licked you. Take back your gross comments, sir.
Well, the camera tested positive for HPV after that, so I thought that.
Yeah. No. Yeah, they probably should definitely not test that. Yeah, I was a little all over the place. I was a little excited. I mean. There were some things where I was like, oh, there's no camera on me. I'm just going to be my ridiculous self. And then my friend sent me a video clip from Fight Pass with me, like, deep-throating a water bottle. And I was like, oh, so they showed that. That's uncomfortable.
That's
wow.
Hysterical. We have to get into that in a second. So first of all, Chiesa is the grossest person I've ever met in my entire life. So he's an idiot for saying that. I know Chiesa. I love Chiesa, but give me a break. He's completely.
I was like, that's the pot calling the kettle black there, sir.
Yeah, really.
Like, calm down.
Number one. Now, so you were deep throating a water bottle?
Oh, did I say that?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, if you go back and watch the replay, because my corner handed me a bottle of water, it was like, oh, water bottle, and then I just proceeded to put the entire top of it in my mouth.
Wow.
And then I turned, and there was a camera looking at me, and I was like, ha!
See,
and I took it out.
How could you not get a date?
Okay, they're not going to show it. They showed it.
How could you not get a date? You give girls lap dances, you can deep throat, and why are you still single? What is this?
I know. What's happening in this world? Apparently, people... You just can't be tamed. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. So, now, are you still, are you on any kind of dating site, Bumble, Tinder, anything?
No, I got cock blocked by Android. It was the worst. I was like, you know, let's try and download Tinder. And I went on and I got a ghetto Android phone and it said, Tinder app not compatible with version of phone or something like that. And I was like, seriously, did my phone just cockblock me? I think it did.
Like
damn.
Like a flip phone? Is that what's happened?
I just have like an Android. No. I'm a little involved beyond a flip phone.
A
I mean,
phone.
Barely. It's an Android. But I was like, okay, apparently I need to get an iPhone if I want to download Tinder or something.
Now, how are you still living in Pennsylvania or New Jersey?
Jersey. Yep. I'm in Utah right now. I stayed a little bit extra to visit friends and family, but heading back to Jersey here soon.
And how's that training with Frankie Edgar and Caitlin Kukugin, all those people?
Amazing. I absolutely love it. Like, I have to be away from my dog while I'm there, and it's 100% worth it to get the training in there. Like, I never thought I'd be an East Coast person. I'm from California. I love the West Coast. And the fact that I'm out there, I'm like, all right. You know, this is actually pretty cool. I like this.
All right. Good. Well, listen, I'm so proud of you. Who are you calling out? Who do you want to fight next?
Honestly, the Invicta title is vacant at 125, and so I think me versus Vanessa Porto would be perfect to fill that vacancy.
All right. Well, let's get a hashtag, Deanna versus Porto. Yeah. We'll get it going. And I think, honestly, like, I was watching this. I was trying to find that interview to show my wife. I'm like, you got to see this interview. My wife, like, she would have loved it. You got to start doing vlogs or something, because you are so fucking strange. But in a hot way, in a very cute, adorable way, a very likable way. And
thank you.
We got to take
it. I will, just for you.
You got to take advantage of this.
Just make this happen.
Because I really think people would like. I mean, you're a fighter, but you're so quirky, and like, you're funny, and you're laughing, and you like dogs, and you can deep throat. I'm telling you, you have all the makings of this amazing person. But we got to harness it. Because if you're gonna keep losing weight, you're gonna keep losing money. So we gotta make that up.
It's true.
We gotta make that back up. So, but
channel this into a good method.
Yes.
This is gonna happen, and then hey, maybe I'll actually get a date one day.
Yeah,
possibly.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Just one damn date.
I'm sure.
Damn people. I'm like repelling people like crazy.
Yeah, fuck those people.
I'll help you. Twitter.
Yes, 100%.
Perfect.
Well, thank you so
there
much.
There you go.
Thank you, and have a good rest of the week.
Oh, well, thank you. Always a pleasure talking to you.
Always. Take care, Deanna.
Take care.
All right, that was Deanna Bennett. I like her.
Yes.
She's cool. How could she not get a date? She's just got to be selective. I mean, there's got to be women are funny. Like, I can't get a date. No, you can't date Brad Pitt, or you can't get a date with Matthew McConaughey. You're like, you can get a date with me and you.
Yeah,
it's like, I can't fuck supermodels. You know, that's basically what they're saying. Because this girl can get fucking dates.
Yeah.
She's very fit, hot, and I don't know where she learned how to deep throat, but I'm sure she has experience. I think. I don't know. Sometimes the girls that like.
A smart water bottle was one of those big ones.
I think it was a keg. She was deep. So anyway, we're calling Ashley Evans.
Hello.
Hello, Ashley Evans Smith.
That is me.
How are you? You're on the MMA Roasted podcast. It's me and Justin Wood. How are you doing?
I'm pretty good. I'm just resting in between training sessions.
Nice. Now, are you training at the body shop? Where are you training at?
No, I don't think I've ever been a part of Team Body Shop, but I mean, I know the guys over there, but I am at Classic Fight Team. I'm at 10 Planet Jiu-Jitsu, and I've been doing some one-on-one kind of wrestling with Mark Munoz over at Ruka, working on my wrestling and ground and pound.
Nice. So why don't you call me for the one-on-one wrestling? Remember we had that? Remember when I was single, we had that bet that if I could take you down, you owed me a handy, and it never actually went to fruition?
Yep, we had that bet, and you never took me down.
Fuck,
so.
Damn it. We never actually wrestled. So, but yeah, that's very true. Now you got a big fight coming up, UFC 223. This is probably the best fight card of the year, I would say easily, hands down, top to bottom. You're fighting Roddy Beck. How are you preparing for this fight? Are you excited about this fight? Talk to me.
I mean, there's nothing. Super different, you know, in the way that we're preparing for this fight, in the sense that it's just going to be very fight opponent specific. You know, she's pretty one dimensional in my opinion as far as being a boxer. She hasn't really developed or grown as a fighter in her career, like the last few fights or even back to her Invicta days. So, you know, a lot of my training partners and coaches, you know, we're working specifically for her, and you know, every time we drill, every time we spar, you know, we have people that are emulating her style. So, you know, and other than that, it's just the same, you know, grind, working on my stuff, making my strength stronger, making my weaknesses stronger, and just kind of doing me, you know, strength and conditioning, wrestling, boxing, all that kind of stuff that we normally do.
Right. Now Beck does hit hard, though. She's a hard-hitting girl, good uppercut.
Yeah, have you been hit by her?
No, but I've seen her drop people. I've seen her give people black eyes before. I'm just saying we got to be careful, right? That's the, all right, don't fuck it. All right. So, now we're going to 125. Now you're a girl, you beat Fallon Fox at 145. She did. She beat at 145. How's this cut going?
It's good. You know, everybody keeps asking me, like, how are you doing this? How is it possible? If you used to fight at 145, then 135, now 125. And I just tell people that it actually kind of happened on accident after my last fight with Cheesecake. Unfortunately, I got armbarred in the first round. I lost, didn't go my way. And I was very, very cautious during the injury period. And I was actually better on my diet than I had been during a fight camp, because I was afraid of, you know, coming back after the injury and having to lose weight, get back in shape, and just be so far behind, you know, because of the injury. So the 125 pound division came about, and I was walking around almost, you know, on weight for 35s, and so I said, fuck it, let's try it out. And the weight cut's going really well. I'm on weight for 35s right now, so it's definitely weird to be on weight, you know, 2 weeks away from a fight. When you normally would be, you know, cutting and kind of miserable.
Yeah, no, I remember you telling me that you were built like Adam Sandler. I guess no more.
No, I did say I was built like him. I said I have his metabolism. He makes a joke and he says in one of his movies, says if he drinks a milkshake, his ass jiggles for a week. And I said, I'm like that.
Oh, okay. Sorry. I did not know that. Now, you also told me recently, so you had a boyfriend, you broke up, you're back together. Since I've known you, you've had about 37 different boyfriends. And then you were a lesbian at least 6 times in between that. So are we now? Who is it? Are we back with the guy? Who is this guy? What does he do? Is he a jiu-jitsu guy? That guy?
Oh my goodness, I hate you so much. No, I'm not back with anybody. It's a new thing, kind of. It's somebody that I've been friends with for a very long time. We're training partners and friends, but we never actually dated. He is a fighter as well, and I think you know him.
Okay, what's his name?
Mario Navarro.
You're dating Mario Navarro? Yeah, I have no idea who that is. Wasn't he on Saved by the Bell? Like fucking. That's Mario Lopez. No, I don't know who Mario Navarro is, but I'm sure he's a good guy. If you're dating him, well, that's not true. You've dated some fucking whack jobs. But I'm sure. Okay, hold on. I'm looking at him. Okay, his name is Handsome Navarro. Oh. Really, Handsome Navarro? You know what? I like this guy better than the last one. I don't even know him, but I like him better than the. Wait, does he have tattoos on his face too? No.
No, he has no tattoos on his face.
Oh, that's good. Okay, so that's a good start. So, okay, he's a Misfits MMA, Bellator featherweight, Glory featherweight. Wow, he's a dog lover. Paulista black belt. I'm not fucking with this guy. No, you can have him. All right, good. So you're happy with this guy?
Yeah, really happy. Really, really happy. He's definitely been a huge part of this camp. He stepped up. I've had a couple changes in my camp, which I don't really want to talk about right now, maybe after the fight. But he's been a huge training partner, a coach, just a really, really, really big part of my camp. And I'm really grateful to have him in my life.
Well, if you like him, I like him. Okay. So that's all that matters, is that you like him. however, I'm looking at one of your pictures right now on Instagram. You're showing you're like almost naked. Well, you're in like a bra and panty. You're on your feet on the bed, and your ass says tattoo this. do you want a tattoo on your ass, or is that like a reference to some other stuff? Like, what is that? And how did that happen? And who took the picture?
That was a photo shoot I did for a sponsor. and they're kind of like a tattoo car, like clothing company. And so it was just kind of to promote the brand. And I'd never done anything like kind of risque before. So I said, fuck it, we'll try it. I mean, it's not even like a song. I mean, it's still kind of like if I was wearing a bikini, but I still felt shy. And so,
No. I mean, you fight in a cage for money. Nothing risque in your life. There's nothing. Good to see you out of your comfort zone right there. I mean, your fucking tattoo, you have a tattoo on your head. What are you talking about? Nothing risque in your life. What the fuck are you talking about? Your whole life is risque. There's nothing that you do that's not risque. Give me a fucking break. Oh, no, I had to do something out of my nothing risque.
Yeah.
I mean, for you, like reading a book on a fucking Thursday is risque. Get the fuck out of here. Like, give me a break. So that's good. I'm happy for
you. Are you complaining about the picture?
No, I like it. No, I think you look hot in it. I think it's good. I think that you're a beautiful person, and therefore you should be one day you're not going to have, you're going to be 90 year old, the fucking thong that says tattoo this, you know? So, fucking celebrate it now. You know, you don't want to be later on in life, you know? So.
All right, Adam.
That's good. I like it.
For your approval.
I'm all for it. Now, all right. So, I see you now. You're another thing. You have your boyfriend, Handsome Navarro, in like a triangle, and you go, I don't always go to my back, but when I do, triangle.
Oh,
and now he's, I think now he's like smelling your vagina in like one of these pictures.
Look,
it looks like you guys are having a fun life here together. This is good. I like it. Good for you.
Yeah, I mean, is there a question in there, or are you just commenting on the fact that I'm triangling my boyfriend?
No, I just think that you guys seem very happy. Does he have any kids?
No, he doesn't.
Oh, wow, that's good.
Good.
All right, so when do we leave for Brooklyn?
We leave next Tuesday, or this coming Tuesday, actually, so a week away.
All right, and we're excited. I like it. Good luck. So we're going to use our wrestling in this one. We're going to use our wrestling, our jiu-jitsu, our boxing, the whole thing.
Yep. I mean, I expect to go to the ground. I read some stats on Instagram the other day. Everybody's giving me the striking advantage, which is interesting, and her the ground advantage, but you know, we'll see what happens.
All right. We get off Instagram. We get off Facebook. We get off the social media. It's Ashley time. Okay, fuck the rest of the shit.
Mm-hmm.
All right, this is about you. Don't listen to the trolls or the haters or anything. Okay, you have a job to do. So you know, am I right?
Yep, and I will do it.
We got this. Okay, you worked too hard.
Yep.
You were this girl. You had no fashion sense. You came from nothing. You were in a gang at 12 years old. Okay, you ended up going to Menlo College. You joined the all lesbian wrestling team. Okay, you were an all American, and now here you are in the UFC. You fought the best girls. You've been there. Now we're fighting on the biggest stage of our life. You earned this. All right, we deserve this.
Thank you, Adam.
We deserve this.
I do.
All right.
I do.
All right. I'm
definitely not going to be in my last fight in the flyweight division, that's for sure.
Good. Good, good, good. Well, thank you for coming on the show. Ashley, I'm a big fan.
I know you are. I'm a big fan of the MMA Roasted podcast. Thanks for having me, guys.
Anytime. Take care, Ash.
All right. Bye, guys.
Bye. That was Ashley Evan Smith. She's a sweet girl. Yes. Cool. All right. So what do you got coming up? Any shows?
Next Saturday, the 7th, I'm actually at the Improv in Indio down in Palm Springs. And the following week, I'm in the Westside Comedy Festival in Santa Monica.
Nice. Who are you at the Improv with?
Jerry Rocha.
Oh, I love Jerry Rocha.
Yeah, he's giving me a guest spot down there.
So. Look at that.
Yeah.
There we go. All right. So, people, I will be this Thursday night at the Laugh Factory in Hollywood, Friday night at Long Beach Laugh Factory. Sacramento Laughs Unlimited. I'm doing a comedy with Leslie Smith is on the show. Connie Elkins, Darren Elkins' wife, is doing comedy. And Adam Corrigan, also Team Alpha Male. That's next Wednesday on the April 4th. April 8th, I'm at the Laugh Factory in Long Beach. Saturday night, April 7th at the Hollywood Laugh Factory. The Comedy Palace, April 13th and 14th. Harvey's in Portland, Oregon, April 26th, 27th, 28th. Naples, Florida, May 3rd to the 5th. And Minnesota, the House of Comedy, May 9th to the 13th. Yes, so hopefully I'll see you guys at a show. Thank you guys so much. Thanks to all our guests. Take care and enjoy your lives.